and I'm not as positive and positive, everything. And so, as everything as it is in the spiritual world are madly attached to Krishna's duty and Krishna's all appearances. And due to some reason, they have come to this material world and they are now envious. But here also they are attracted to the same appearances. So you see, somebody is attracted to beauty, same actors and actresses, how many fans they have. Like Michael Jackson when he came to Bombay, do you know how many people have come to see him? Do you know what is the number? I mean, you know, I think it was about 80,000 people. So actually they are not attracted to Michael Jackson, they are attracted to Krishna. Because the beauty of Krishna is manifesting through some ordinary jiva. Similarly, some actress is beautiful, or some singer is very famous. If the singer is coming, so many people crowd, they become fans. Or a music player becomes famous. Or a sports player, the big sport. The cricketer comes to Pune. Who is the most famous cricketer now? Huh? Okay, Sachin Tendulkar comes to Pune. I don't know how many of you will go. But suddenly a big crowd from Pune will come. Isn't that? So, the Guru Krishna is all famous. You may wonder, how is it connected to Krishna? You may wonder. But actually, every opulence present in every living entity is a property of Krishna. Yajjati Bhuti Matsyatvam, Srimad Urjita Mevava, Tattatyava Avarachatvam, Mama Teja Amsha Sambhava. Mama Teja Amsha means, it is only a small spark of my splendor, Krishna says. So, even although they are attracted to somebody's beauty, actually Krishna says, if somebody possesses beauty, I am the beauty. Balam, Balavatamsa. I am the strength of the strong. I am the beauty of the beautiful. I am the Buddha, Buddhimatamasmi. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Tejas, Tejas, Yanamaham. I am the progress of the powerful. So, as you say, Krishna throughout Bhagavad Gita has given many definitions. So, this material world is a small, tiny speck in the entire creation. But Krishna is worshipped in the Vaikuntha Lokas, which form the major portion of his creation. He is constantly worshipped. There is no time when the jivas don't worship him in the Vaikuntha. It's a 24-hour festival. And not only that, even in this material world, Matsya Loka is a place where so many envious living beings are living on, that is the lower planetary system. But the higher planetary system, Krishna is constantly worshipped in many places. In Janloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka and all, very few souls are living. And even within this world, the jivas, when they are attracted to anybody's opulence, they are actually attracted to Krishna only. When they see that opulence here in someone, they think it is Krishna. So for example, if they see, so many of them see a beautiful actor or actress, they become attracted to that beauty. But actually, because you have an experience of seeing the beauty of Krishna in the spiritual world, when you see this beauty, you mistake it for Krishna. You think, oh, this is Krishna, you think, and you get madly attracted. Just like mistaking a oyster for gold, or mistaking a rope for a snake. Similarly, the original truth is Krishna. So wherever you see essence of opulence in anything, that is Krishna. If you go to the garden and you find very beautiful, lushy forest with blooming flowers, understand that the beauty is Krishna. Or you go to somebody's house, he is very rich and lot of lovely furniture he has and car and bungalow, everything he has. So that wealth and beauty is actually Krishna. Anywhere, anything that is very opulent, that is being observed by us, that is actually Krishna. So if you are attracted to that, you are actually attracted to Krishna only. Although we may not ourselves know it, we may not know it, the Shastras clearly explain that. So, the aspect of the living entity and the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to be clearly understood. The scriptures, it is said, Eko Bahusyama, it is said. There is one absolute Supreme Truth, but the truth has expanded into many parts and parcels. There are minute, separated parts and parcels, and there are integrated parts and parcels. The integrated parts and parcels are called as Swa-Amsha. Swamsha we call them. And the minor parts and parcels are Vibhinnamsha. So the jivas are Vibhinnamsha. and the integrated personality which are Svansha, Bhuvaral, Vishnu Tattvas. Please understand these two categories. One is Svansha, Bhuvaral in the platform of Vishnu. So they are called as independent enjoyers. And the souls are called as Vibhinnamsha. They are dependent enjoyers. So Krishna expanded into so many forms of Vishnu, Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, so many forms in the spiritual world. And each of these forms are spiritual and they are all Vishnu Tattvas. And the same Krishna is also expanded into small, minor jivas. That's the Prabhupada writes, if you read in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, even the living entities are also Krishna, but they are minute Krishna. They are actually expansion of Krishna only. If you see a living entity and if you see Krishna, both have the same qualities. And like the example of drop of the water of the ocean was given. Somebody was asking about merging of the ocean, water and the ocean. Even if you take ocean, from the chemical point of view, if you see, ultimately the atoms are separate. Have you seen atom and I-atom merging together? Even when you see H2O, there is one hydrogen atom, isn't it? There are hydrogen atom and oxygen atom. Are they merging with one and becoming one sphere? They don't. Merging is not there even in matter if you very closely observe. Prasad? How many of you haven't taken prasad, please raise your hand. If any of you haven't taken prasad, we will reserve it for you. Only one. Two. Do you have five people? Three. Five people. So, if you see, merging is not there even in nature. You never see that. Atoms are all separate. And within atoms are the protons and neutrons are separate. And electrons are also separate. So, there is no merging at all, even in the ocean if you very closely observe. So, the living entities are within Amsha eternally. Sometimes people ask, that means you were Krishna once upon a time, and then there was a cleavage, and Krishna was cut into many pieces and distributed. It's not like that. Just like the sun and the sun rays, they are eternally one and different. Eternally. That means, if you see the sun, there are particles of rays coming from the sun. The particles are separate from the sun. At the same time, they have the same quality of the sun. Like the spark of fire emanating from the fire. It has the same quality as the fire, but it is different from the fire. Although it has the same quality. So in the same way, we have to understand that the minute jivas are within the amsha, separated parts and parcels, and they can never enjoy if they try to enjoy like the independent enjoyers, like the Vishnu Tattvas. Vishnu Tattvas, they are all independent enjoyers, namely Vishnu, Matsyavatar, Kumavatar, Varahavatar, Narsingavatar, and all these are called as independent enjoyers. Their enjoyment is not dependent on anybody. Whereas our enjoyment is dependent on the Vishnu Tattvas. Or the source of the Vishnu Tattvas is Krishna. Exactly, the example is given of the hand and the stomach. The hand is a dependent enjoyer. Is it not always understand this? Hand is a dependent enjoyer. Can the hand say, without serving the stomach, I will enjoy? Is it possible for the hand? For hundreds of years, you may be crushing the laddu, but you can never enjoy. Impossible. So he has to put it in the stomach. And he depends for his nourishment from the stomach. In the same way, the vibhinna amshas are separated parts and parcels. They depend on the Supreme God for their enjoyment. So they cannot enjoy it. Now, you are telling about the Brahms. One is Brahm and the other one is Chetan. You are actually talking about the Jad and Chetan. It is true that this material world is a combination of Jad and Chetan. But when we talk of Chetan, in every Anu, there is a Paramatma. In every Anu, there is a Paramatma. And that Paramatma is actually Vishnu. Shri Raksha Vishnu. He is present in every atom. He is also present within the heart of every living being. But as Santosh clearly explains, that Vishnu should not be mistaken to the Vibhinna Amsha soul. Vibhinna Amsha soul is a separated tiny part and parcel. In this body, there is a tiny Vibhinna Amsha soul, Jivatma, and there is also Paramatma. Although Paramatma is occupying every Anu, he is still the independent enjoyer. Whereas the Jivatma is the dependent enjoyer who is living in this body and who is trapped in this body. Vishnu is not trapped in every particle of this material world. He is coming out of his own will to stay in every particle of this material world. Whereas the jiva is trapped in this body. All of you are understanding this? So, sometimes, impersonless, they say that the Brahm, the Observed with his Brahman, and he is there in every body as tiny parts and parcels. So whatever is there in the body is also God only. When you have to realize that you are God. Sometimes you, yes. And we have to depend on Paramatma, our Supreme God's power and judgment. We cannot enjoy infinity.
How can you prove that they are the dependent...
The jivas?
Independent enjoyers.
That is from the Shastra only we come to know. It's like I told you, the definition of Swamsha and Vidhinamsha. How did I say? It's all given in the Shastra. It's explaining about what is...
It's fine, it is written there. Can you give a recognition, like how you...
First the knowledge. Is it not? When you go to college, do you experiment first or get knowledge first?
We have a knowledge that they are the independent enjoyers. Now we have the knowledge. Can you prove that knowledge?
That is a very separate class we can discuss on sometimes on later. How do we prove the Vedic knowledge? What is the method of your proof? How many things in science are true? Then I can tell you 100 things in science are not true. But it's your blind acceptance. I can show you. Do you think everything in science is true?
It's fine with the science.
No, same thing with God also. If you can accept it, if it is fine with science, God is also scientific.
If it is written in the Veda, there should be some proof there.
There is a proof, but that proof demands a qualification. For anything, for example, can you show me a proof that Prime Minister of India exists? I don't believe in that. What is the proof? Can you bring it to me right now? You can bring, provided you have the qualification. If you are a son of the Prime Minister, you can put a phone call and call your father here. Isn't it? You can do that probably, you may have qualification. Every one of us has to become qualified to see God, and perceive God, and reciprocate with God. That is not so cheap. If your science which is so cheap, is not able to prove facts, God is who is so far beyond, how can he be seriously proved? It takes time. You have to first of all understand the facts. Science talks of very trivial things compared to what is given in the scriptures. Even those trivial things cannot be proved. And lofty things which are in the spiritual plane, how can they be proved so easily? And that too with blunt, dead material senses which are not even surrendered to God. First we should learn to understand what is surrender. Hear the knowledge first, grasp it, and cultivate according to what the Shastra says. Then a qualification will come with which you can see God.
There is a difference between the information or the knowledge.
Vijnan.
So, just we are reading the script, what the information from the Veda. That is just a,
information.
Yeah. We are not interested in the information. We are interested in the knowledge. So, what we should do to get the knowledge?
Yes. That is why we are doing Krishna consciousness. Like, for example, first you get the knowledge. It's not like if you are an electrical engineer, the book is given to you. You read the book, first you understand. For example, Norton's theorem. Without knowing the theorem, can you conduct experiments? Is it possible? You should know what is Norton's theorem. You learn it. First you have to see the book. And you learn it. Understand how it works. Then you go to the laboratory. Then you conduct the experiment. You get the results. Similarly, first knowledge is given to us. What is Paramatma? What is Jivatma? It's called Sambandhanya. Then comes Abhideya. Abhideya means practice. Arrangement practice. So we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That will bring about understanding. The realization will come. Krishna says, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam Yajnyatva Mochashe Ashubhat. Both will come. Jnanam will come and Vijnanam, both will come. The practical realization. But we are all small kids in spiritual life. What is our depth? See, anything in material, even in material life, you see, it demands dedication. For example, you are an engineer now, right? Does it not demand dedication? How many years did you do schooling? Tell me. 10 years of schooling? 2 years of intermediate college? And then also they didn't offer you engineering seat. You have to do some entrance. And you need a very high distinction to get into engineering college. But as soon as you got it, engineering college, did they give you a certificate? It was for four more years. If just to get a paper in hand, you have to work for 15 years. And a few people know that you are an engineer, you are a big man, some portion of the society may recognize you. And for the small, tiny recognition, you have to work so hard that a donkey for 16 years have to go. If it is so difficult, just imagine to understand God. How many years of our life have you dedicated? Tell me. How many years have you given? Tell me. How many years have you given? I've given a few years. So if material education is demanding 16 years of education just to become engineer, and what is your knowledge? Tell me. How many engineering fields do you know? What is your engineering? Chemical. So outside of chemical, how much do you know in computer, mechanical, civil, electronics, and all these things, how much do you know? After 16 years of education, you do not know everything that is going on in your engineering college. And you are talking about God, whose knowledge is furthering the entire material creation. And to know about Him, and how many years you have dedicated time, tell me. Not even a year or two. So we are having too high an expectation, too high an demand. It is like a child catching a moon. Child going for a moon. It's not possible. But the Shastra say, if we dedicate sincerely, we have no ability to conquer God. But the submissiveness and humility, God will appear in front of us. Just like Prime Minister, I was telling you. You have no ability to see the Prime Minister. It is so difficult if you want an appointment to see him. But if he decides to see you, is it possible or not? It's possible. If he decides, now I want to come here to Pune, I want to come to ISKCON, I want to come and see these people. Then it is possible. In the same way, by our surrender and submissiveness, we can conquer God. Then we can see Him. And this knowledge is certainly perceivable. You may ask, if you are so confident in speaking, it is perceivable. You are not perceived, but what is your confidence? It is not an overnight process, nor is it like a one-step process. Either you know it or you don't know it. It's not like that. There are many steps in that. Just like engineering, you are doing chemical engineering now. Chemical engineering, now you are doing engineering. After that you can do your master's. Then you can specialize in some particular field in doctorate. That means your knowledge keeps on increasing. The same is true with God also. God, you hear knowledge and you get little realization. And then you get little more. The more you get realization, the more your commitment and dedication increase, proportionately. It will increase. To the best of your realization, whether you are brahmacharya or grihastha, you can see one's commitment and dedication increasing as per his realization. You can see that. Somebody might have spent 20 years in Krishna consciousness movement, but having no realization. And you see that they are doing the same materialistic activities with no change. But on the other hand, you may see somebody practicing for 1 or 2 years, and he shows a high dedication. He wants to speak about Krishna, wants to preach about Krishna. He wants to read chakras. So the proportionately the dedication could be seen by how much a person has realized. So we all have some realization. Even you have some realization. I have some realization. Everyone here in this room has some realization. But it may be a fraction of the realization that we are talking about, the soul and super soul. It may not be complete. But we all have some realization. If you all have no realization, you won't be present here today. The very fact that you are present here shows that you have some inclination to know more about what you already know. You already know something and you have developed some faith in it. Now you want to expand your faith. That's why you assemble here. So we all have some realization. Nobody can ask, Mahavishnu and Paramatma. It's a very silly question, a childish question. Like you were asking about have you seen Adam. Seeing is no criteria at all. I have seen God with my ears. Yes? It's possible to see God with your ears. How? Because the basis of Shastra is only hearing. You judge a man by how he speaks, not by how he looks like. There are so many Babas who grow long beard and give Ashirwad and don't speak at all. They keep chup-chup. They don't speak. The Baba used to say, a fool is detected when he opens his mouth. So they don't speak because they are afraid. People will come to know that they don't know anything. So they don't speak. But when one speaks based on the Shastras and the hearing it, one's wisdom will dance in the heart. It's possible. So how do we see? If you are having so much faith in the small, two things in our body, you can very easily prove how it is easily fallacious. You cannot see even your own eyelids, can you? You cannot see even this eye growth which is so close to your eyes. Can you? You cannot see your nose. You cannot see your own lips if you don't have a mirror. Can you? You cannot see what is behind the wall. And if you take the electromagnetic spectrum, it is ranging from 1/1,000,000 meter to 1,000,000,000 meters, 7,000,000 meters. And that visible range is just 400 to 700 billion microns. That is small visible range. You cannot see alpha rays, beta rays, gamma rays, infrared rays, ultraviolet rays. You cannot see any of them. With such a limitation, we are not even able to perceive material things. And we are saying, show me that. How funny it is. So first of all, we have to see what is our qualification, even before we ask. With this eyes, we cannot even see material things. We cannot see even material things. We don't know. Even within the range of this room, there are so many things which are not able to perceive. If there is a rat hiding in this room, can your eyes see that? You cannot see. So with such limited eyes, how do we expect to see God, who is so great? We cannot even see Prime Minister right in front of us, as I told you. So before we make demands, we should see our qualification. Like, you know, when a boy and girl get married, they make demands, isn't it? But we should see our qualification. But what qualification am I making demands? So, very soon a devotee of God comes to know, when he reads the scriptures, how limited are our senses. Not only the eyes, our eyes, our ears and nose, we are practically blind, I can say. We are practically blind. Our knowledge is very, very limited. So, as a blind man who wants to cross the road, has to take the help of a man with eyes. So, he is holding his hand, please take me across the street. So, the spiritual master is there, Guru, the first Guru, is leading us to the other side of the road. So the Guru is enlightened and he is leading us to other side of the road. So there may be lorries and buses and cars coming in the way. But he has the ability to protect us. In the same way, yeah?
The same way. You can know the God by hearing the speech.
Huh.
And one more thing I know, that is important. You can know the God with the knowledge, eyes of knowledge, which is the more to it. You can see the God with the
perception. Yeah, correct.
Which thing is more correct?
Actually, eyes of knowledge and hearing, understanding what we are hearing, both are same. The Jnana Chakshu, you are saying that Jnana is what? It is a scriptural knowledge. That is the eye of the ear. Actually, Jnana Chakshu is eye of the ear. That means the knowledge about God flows through the ears, and with that we see. Like, for example, how do I know how Krishna looks like? Venum palantara vindagalaya daksham So he says, Venu Panatan, Lord is holding a Venu in his hand, and there's a beautiful mala, there's a Vaijanti mala on his chest, and he wears a beautiful mor pant on his head. So from this we conceive how Krishna looks like. So our eye of the ear, I told you, that is because by hearing only we learn knowledge. There is no other way. Even in material grounds, if you see, how does a child learn about his father? By hearing from the mother. How did you all come to know where is the cow? No, which is a tree? Which is everything we come to know by hearing only. Even your engineering, chemical engineering. Not that, you know, all of a sudden you are born and you went to your middle of a desert and you took some chemicals with you to analyze. And you mixed them and came with some derivations. All you know is only based on hearing. You have simply heard from the previous people who have worked in the field. Like you have scientists who have done something with the chemicals, the same way we have great rishis and munis who lived in the past, who have undergone the same stage which we all are undergoing now. They were also young boys, and they also went to great stages and inquired, and they learned the knowledge, they practiced, and they became very mature in wisdom, and they practically realized. And from them we are hearing. Right?
By hearing, you know the God. Now that you have, you should have a faith. Yeah. Because then, I think, I understand the knowing the God by the eyes of knowledge is different. Because there is the actual experience. No, actually experience also, as I told you, it's proportionate to your faith. In the beginning, all these people who have come here, they have faith. Adho Shraddha is a first step in religion.
Initial faith, a small amount of faith, is the first step. And then comes sadhusanga, bhajana kriya, anartha nirvritti, nishtha, ruchi, many steps are there. So the small faith also is called as jnana chakshu. Like for example, all these people have the jnana chakshu also. But depending on their faith, they have jnana chakshu. So that ability they can see. Somebody is seeing with eyes, using God is impersonal. everything looks hazy. He is seeing the mountain, but it looks hazy. But when he comes little closer, when his faith increases in the personality of Godhead more, when he sees in the mountain there are trees, there are animals, when he comes more close, he sees so many people living. The same way the personality of God is manifesting in the heart of a person depending on his increase in faith, proportionately. So, actually one person is a long and there are many others also. So, all of you, are you clear about this Vidhinnamsha and Svamsha? So, Vidhinnamsha has the quality of getting his enjoyment through surrender to the Vidhinnamsha has to surrender to the Svamsha. That means the independent personality of Godhead, Svamsha. Now, if you see, the Lord and his associates, namely the living beings, have been existing eternally. Somebody may ask a question. When was God separated into this minute parts and parcels and integrated parts and parcels? As soon as you ask the question, when? That means you are bringing in the factor of time. Actually, God is beyond time. He is outside the domain of time. So, we are living inside time domain, that is why we ask the question, when? But this kind of parts and parcels have been eternally existed with Krishna. God cannot be called as God unless he has his parts and parcels. For example, a king is walking across the street. If he is walking alone in the street, can you call him a king? Have you ever seen a king going alone and he says, I am the king of the country? Or a prime minister, have you seen him going alone in one single car? Always you see, even one politician came the other day to the airport. The ordinary politician from Congress position of Maharashtra, ordinary simple minister. There are so many Titan cars in the front and Titan cars behind. And hundreds of people coming and offering them flowers and garlands and people driving a car they are doing, isn't it? So even a simple minister, how much more God should be opulent, imagine. So when a king is passing, there are many elephants going, many horses, many brahmanas chanting the Vedic mantras, and many palanquins, and king is coming in a majestic elephant dressed very attractively. So king means king and his subjects naturally. Similarly, when you talk of God and the living entities, that is why he said Nitya Nityana, Chaitana Chaitana, Yeko Bahuna, Yogadati Kaman. Yeko means that one supreme God, and Bahuna is all of us, and there are a million other living entities in spiritual world. Millions. Who are all assembly serving Krishna. So when you talk of Krishna, why should Krishna not renounce his post as Krishna? Actually, it is the constitution of Krishna to be enjoyer, and constitution of living entity to be a servant. And this eternal relationship between Krishna and the living entity is such that both of them are trying to become each other's servant. And in that competition, there is a transcendental joy that comes from that. And you can see the same thing happening in the material world also. Everyone, a husband is thinking, oh, let me work very hard. And let me not take the money for myself. Let me give good things to my wife and children. And wife says, oh, my husband, let him be more happy. She is trying to serve. Or a boy and a girl, they are trying to mutually please one another. This kind of competition of serving one another may be there in the material world, but this kind of love cannot last for a long time. Whereas in the absolute truth, the jivas are all eternally part and parcel of sattvas of Krishna who are eager to love and serve Krishna. And it's not that Krishna being God, he is a dictator. He is taking a stick and beating everyone. Everyone serving. Everyone pull my rat. And all of you are a surrendered soul. If you want to be in spiritual world, now you have to pull my elephant or pull my child. You have to always serve me. And he is just stepping under your feet. He is not a dictator like that. In fact, when Krishna appeared in the material world here, he saw Krishna riding the chariot of Arjuna. Krishna is washing the feet of all the sages who are visiting the Rajasuya Yajna. And Krishna was living like a when he came to meet the Pandavas in the forest, he was offering obeisance to Yudhishthira and embracing Arjuna and clasping hands with Nakula and Sahadeva. So he was reciprocating with them exactly like a human being. Or like a very, very simple friend. So this is Krishna. He is God. He never wants to take the position of an enjoyer. Although actually he is the enjoyer. He, not only in the material world, even in the spiritual world, only when he is in the form of Vishnu that he is seeing Vishnu in the Vaikuntha Loka. There Vishnu is the enjoyer and all are worshipping in the awe and reverence. And that also he is doing it to please the living entities. In the Vaikuntha Loka, living entities get a great pleasure at the serving Vishnu. For serving them by taking the position of master, he is accepting that position. For Hanuman, if Lord Ramchandra starts catching Hanuman's feet, Hanuman will only cry. He will not be happy. Do you think Hanuman will be happy if Ram is bowing down to the feet of Hanuman? Hanuman will not be happy. But when Lord Ramchandra is having Pattabhishek and Bharata is holding the umbrella, and Bharata Shatrughna Devala surrounding, Lakshmina surrounding, and Sita Mata is standing on the side, and Hanuman sits at the feet of Ramchandra, tears of joy gliding down from his eyes. He feels this as to be the greatest joy of his life. So just to satisfy the living entities, in the way they want the Lord to satisfy them, the Lord is doing that in the Vaikuntha Lokas. So he is accepting the position of master. If a spiritual master starts catching your feet, will you like it? He says, no, I want to be your humble servant. If he catches your feet, will you like it? He will not. But when you bow down to the spiritual master, the love becomes very thick and very condensed. Just like sugar solution, if you see, it is initially very thin, and as it becomes thicker and thicker, it becomes semi-solid. Then it becomes candy, and then it becomes rock candy. It becomes thicker and thicker, like a stone. In the same way, love also has different levels. At one level of love is that you worship the Lord as a master. Oh my Lord, you are my master. Whatever orders you will give me, I will do that. That's certainly love. That means you want to serve the Lord in whatever way he wants you to serve. So you are doing service to Lord. The higher level is like the friends of Krishna. When Krishna wants the other friends to put their hands on his shoulder, Krishna wants them to wrestle with him, play with him. And Krishna sometimes loses the game and carries his friends on his shoulder. And Krishna likes it very much. In fact, we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord says, while all the living entities are worshipping me in awe and reverence, this kind of love, which is very, very feeble, he says. He doesn't like the shape of love. But when there is a condensed love, where the living entities treat Krishna as their friend, or treat Krishna as their child, or treat Krishna as their lover, that love is more appealing to Krishna. So that also Krishna is just satisfying the living entities in the way they want. But gopis were telling Krishna when they were delivered from Bhavamasara. So Krishna told them, so my dear gopis, I have delivered you from Bhavamasara. Now you are not having complete freedom. You can go wherever you want. So saying this, Krishna was about to go. Then the gopis all prayed to Krishna, oh Krishna, who will marry us? Because they have been already passed by Bhavamasara. Nobody will marry us. Then Krishna asked them, what do you want me to do? He said, we all want you as our husband. He said, okay, it's all right. In the religion, Krishna accepted all of them. So Krishna is just fulfilling the desires of his devotees, whether they are gopis. Sometimes his gopa friends, when Krishna is playing with them, Krishna is just fulfilling the desires. Like Mother Yashoda was running after Krishna. She wanted to catch Krishna. So Krishna got caught immediately. She caught him and she started binding with the rope. So every moment if you see what Krishna is doing, it's all for the pleasure of his devotees. He doesn't do anything in the spiritual world for his own pleasure also. He's just acting for the pleasure of his devotees, both here and in the spiritual world. So one has to understand clearly the position of God. It's like asking, can you separate sweetness from sugar? This is the absurd question, isn't it? The dharma of sugar is to be sweet. So Prabhupada writes in the Tadjati Panipatina, one should avoid blind faith and absurd inquiries. You should avoid both. So we can ask absurd questions, but they will not be of any benefit. It can only give some intellectual titillation that you have heard a question which you don't have any answer. But actually the dharma is very simple. The truth about the eternal dharma is very simple. Lord is the enjoyer and the living entity is enjoyed. And living entity gets the greatest enjoyment by being enjoyed by God. That's the nature of the living entity. And he may get some part illusory enjoyment by being the enjoyer when he comes to this material world. But that enjoyment, in other words, is called as illusion. So we have to come to the platform of real enjoyment, which is actually being enjoyed by Krishna. So sometimes the living beings may ask question, why should I be enjoyed by Krishna? Why cannot I be enjoyed? So you may get many rebellious questions. Like people say, why is Krishna so proud? In Bhagavad Gita he is telling, I am God. Why is he so proud? Actually, we have only experience of false ego in the material world. Somebody says, I am working with State Bank of India, it is wearing coat, shoes, tie. Next day you go and see, he is sitting the floor there. So, he is working in State Bank of India as a peon, or as a sleeper there. But outside when he goes to movie, he is wearing tip-top dress to show the world that he is also a big man. So this is false ego, just to make a show to the world. But when Krishna says, I am God, there is not a tinge of lie in that. He is God. And He is very merciful in saying the truth, that I am God. If He would not tell I am God, then how will we come to know who is God? We have no ability to know who is God by our own endeavor, or by our own speculation. So He is revealing the truth, how He is God, and how we can achieve perfection by surrendering to Him. And as far as the Bhagavan who runs the world is concerned, Gaurav was asking, we can give 100 definitions of Bhagavan which we will not accept unless it is given in the Shastras. So every one of us can, if by your own talents in Sanskrit, you can split the word bha separately, gha separately, va separately, and you can give hundreds and thousands of definitions, and you can be satisfied by writing millions of books yourself. You only have to read them. Our basis is the Shastra. There are people like that. One time I saw one man from Kolkata come. So he has written a book on Bhagavad Gita and nobody is buying it. So he has written sutras in that. So many sutras of his own. I will not tell you his name. He's one famous man, but he wrote. Actually, he wanted to give hundreds of ideas what he has about that. But nobody can appreciate that. So he wrote a book and gave the name of the book as Bhagavad Gita. Still, people opened the book and understood it. It's all bogus. So nobody bought the book. So wherever he is going, he is giving a free book now. And he is telling us to read his book. So we are not interested in such books, such definitions. Our definition of Bhagavan comes from Parashivani, who is the surrendered devotee of Krishna. So we should hear like that, such definitions. So Gaurav asked a good question, because with this question we come to understand that we cannot accept interpretations of the holy name or the Shastras from mundane wranglers. We cannot accept. That is considered the sixth offense, to give some interpretation for the holy name. So Bhagavan is also the name of God. So we cannot accept any such interpretations. As far as God only can give the definition of God. Actually, the definition of God told by Brahma or Narada or Vyasa is not told by God only. They are just repeating. The definition told to the devotees of God. That is why sometimes devotees are also called as Bhagavan. Bhagavan Narada is called, or Bhagavan Shiva. Shiva is also called as Vaishnavana and Dhatashambhu. So the great devotees of God are sometimes called as Bhagavan because they are completely representing God as it is, without a tinge of additional subtraction. So Krishna told Brahma, I am the Supreme Personality of God. And Brahma told all the jivas, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. This is the perfection of an acharya. He just repeats what he has heard from the Supreme Truth. One time Brahma was asked by Narada, my dear father, it appears in this entire creation that you are the only one person. So he was asking the question that because yadrupam yat adhishthanam yat srishtam idam prabhu, all this creation I am seeing, I think it is all coming from you only. Ekasrijati bhutani bhute revatmamaya adhyas. Are you creating alone everything? And it appears like that to me. But my dear father, I have one doubt. Although you are having so much power and you appear to be the Supreme Person in this world, I have observed you one time sitting in meditation. That means that if somebody is superior to you. Otherwise, why should you should be meditating on someone? Please tell me, clarify my point. So immediately Brahma just said, Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi tanmaya adhujaya mam vadanti jagadguru. He said that Supreme Absolute Truth is Lord Vasudeva, from whom everything emanates. And those who are covered with the illusion energy of the Lord, they think I am the source of everything. Although I am creating everything, do you know what my creation is? It's like somebody is giving the seed to the gardener, and the gardener is watering those seeds and making the plants come. So I am like the gardener. But who gave me the seed? Krishna gave me the seed, he said. So he has created everything and he has already created the seeds. I am just making creation by watering them, he said. So this is Brahma, Yamanas, Shiva, they all have admitted in Krishna Sutra. And anything they speak, they are devotees certainly. But that speech also should be accepted as good as Krishna's speech. That's why we say Sakshat Haritvena. They should be respected as good as Krishna. And that speech should be accepted as good as Krishna's speech. Because they do not know anything other than what Lord says. They just repeat what they have heard from the Lord. And the Bhagavad Gita conversation, it went on for an hour in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And it is said all the living beings were observing. They were hearing the Bhagavad Gita. Those who understood certainly would have perfected. But still, in Bhagavatam we read, because all those living beings in the battlefield of Kurukshetra were in front of Krishna, although they were killed, they all got their sarupas in the Vaikuntha. Anitarupam Sarupena Vartati. So they all got their sarupa and achieved their respective positions in Vaikuntha. That was the glory of all the living beings who are participating in the Kurukshetra war. And Chitraketu had millions of wives. It's very common in the ancient times for kings to have hundreds and thousands of wives because they wanted to expand their kingdom. When they would, for example, a king, when he would go to other places to conquer, he would conquer another king and then marry his daughter. And then the entire kingdom comes to the party. So for Kshatriyas, it was not wrong on their part to marry any number of wives. They may marry hundreds and thousands of wives. But Chitraketu did not have the ability to be present in all the millions wives' houses. He didn't have ability. Why did he present? In fact, he was such a frustrated fellow. But even after having million wives, he could not divide one child. When Angira Muni came, Angira Muni had no wife, but he was the most blissful man. He came to me and asked Chitraketu, "My dear friend, why are you frustrated? Even after having million wives." So, but Krishna is never frustrated in his actions. Krishna is ever just. Whether he has all the 16,000 wives, in fact, he never had any plans to marry them. Do you know that? When he went to kill Bhaumasura, he just wanted to deliver them. And all of a sudden, he was given this offer, and he very coolly accepted. Because he had the ability to maintain 16,000 in his life. So, Krishna, in every respect, is very special. And we cannot compare Krishna with Chitraketu or anybody like that. Neither Krishna nor his devotees should be compared with any mundaners. As you see, there was a great king called Nala, Naladamayanti. He was a very, very great king. He had been many talents. And the materialistic people sometimes compare him with Yudhishthira, such a king. But our Shastras don't speak anything about this Naladamayanti because he was not a devotee of the Lord. So, one of the most important qualities for any human being is that he should be a devotee. If you are a devotee, even if you are insignificant, you become the most glorious. Simple example is the squirrel which served Lord Ramachandra. Who talks about a squirrel? Is there anybody who talks about a squirrel? You hardly think of a squirrel in your life. But this squirrel, he took some sand particles and put it in the bridge for building a bridge for Lord Rama. So that's his ability. And even today he is so much glorified, isn't it? Our old woman like Shabari, she was biting a part of the fruit and tasting it. And the best of which she was reserving them for Lord Ramachandra. Old woman, who will talk of old woman? We are talking about it even today. So the devotee of the Lord, with no qualification, will be glorified for all time to come. Whereas materialistic people, how much ever quality they possess, harava bhaktasya kutoma hardhuna, manavaratena siddhavato bhakti. They are just running here and there. Dhavati means they are running here and there on a mental platform. So, we should not compare Krishna with Chitraketu or Vishnu with Nala. That is not a proper comparison. So, as far as materialistic people are concerned, they may have many opulences, but Krishna's way of acting with the things he possesses is very special. Any question that I left unanswered? Yes, a very great pure devotee called Vasudeva Das. He had a desire to deliver the entire Brahmanda. So Mahaprabhu, he laughed at him and told him, even if the entire world is delivered, there are crores of Brahmandas. And this Brahmanda is like one small seed in the entire Mahatattva. So because he delivered, the Lord actually delivered everyone in the material creation. He delivered everyone in the Brahmanda and they all went back to Godhead. And again, the universe became filled with the new living entities who wanted to be independent of Krishna. They all came and filled up this material world again. So the Lord is fulfilled the desire for the devotee, very genuinely desired. In many cases we see the Lord comes to this world only upon the invitation of a great devotee. The Advaita Acharya invited Lord Chaitanya to come. So the Lord came. Devaki Vasudeva invited Krishna to come and appear in their family. The Lord immediately obliged to their request. So the Lord is always very kind to his devotees. He seems obliged to the request of his devotees. What is the Lord? Shiva. As far as Shiva is concerned, Shiva is actually very announced. Shiva, I think the answer was given that Shiva was not announced. Actually, Shiva is very famous for his detachment and annunciation. He is such a great soul, and he is so eager to deliver so many bhutas and pretas, that he wears bhasma on his body, he wears snakes, and he wears a garland of skeleton, simply to attract the ghosts and spirits close to him, so that he can give his valuable Vaishnava association to them. And by his association, they can also be elevated. So Shiva is actually very detached, he is living in the graveyard. But there are many people famous for detachment. There are many Gandharvas who are famous for their beauty. There are many great learned scholars like Bhaspati. They say his knowledge is endless. Unlimited knowledge they have, they say. But there are many great souls in this creation who have special opulence, maybe one or two of these opulences. But Krishna is famous for all the six senses in completeness. And besides that, we can talk of the respective qualities of Vishnu, Krishna, and Shiva and the Jivas. The 64 qualities, 60 qualities, 55, 50. We can talk of that also. By which we clearly come to know Krishna has some special qualities even over Vishnu. Then the Rup Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Vena Madhuri, and all these special qualities.
The question was different, I suppose. You are saying Shiva also has six opulences. How we can defeat that?
It's not a question at all. He's asking Shiva also has six opulences. How can I refute that? He's asking, that is his question.
That's
the question he was asking. Actually, you can say a non-Shastri statement and say that refute it. No. So you can easily show it's not there in the Shastra. So our reputation should be based on Shastra. That's our basis. All of the knowledge should come from the Shastra. Shastra Chakshu, it is said. So our eyes, we should see with the eyes of the Shastra. Then only we can advance in the understanding. So what is the good name? Vishveshwaraswamy. So the Shastra Chakshu, the Jnana Chakshu is actually the understanding given in the Shastra. You read it, understand it, practice it, gradually your inner eyes start opening. More and more and more. What is the proof that your inner eyes are opening? Who can say? What is the proof?
You feel that you are don't know
right. Seeing things in right perspective.
You feel that you don't know anything. You more and more feel that I don't know anything.
What kind of says that you feel that you don't know much, you don't know anything. More you know, you feel that you don't know anything. Yes. More specifically? It's very close to answer.
Taste starts changing.
Very good.
You get a
position. Yes, you can arrive at the complete conclusion. When said, you become more and more attracted to Krishna. That means detachment from matter, and attachment to Krishna. This is the proof that your inner eyes are opening more and more. That means, to the degree to which, although we are hearing, sometimes you know the knowledge, but you have not developed sufficient faith in it. You have understood, but not accepted. Isn't it? It happens sometimes. You have heard it. You have heard it 10 times, but still it doesn't sink in. But it gets rejected, goes and comes out. You don't want to accept it. But if you have accepted it, the proof is that your attachment for Krishna will develop more and you will be more detached from materialistic things. That is one very strong sign. have one's advancement in spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Atmika Vijata?
That's all true.
I can answer in English, no?
Yeah, I can answer.
Actually, Vijabhasi is they didn't know Krishna as God, isn't it? Because they were in Yogamaya potency. And they were thinking of Krishna to be some great personality. This kind of understanding was purposefully filled by Krishna in them. So that there won't be any barrier in the love between them. Just like the Prime Minister of a country, when he goes home, how does his mother behave with him? How does his children behave with him? How does his wife behave with him? His wife is always respecting him like a Prime Minister. She cannot even come in front of him. So, other people in the country, they may respect him as a Prime Minister. But when he goes home, all his family people become intimate with him. They cannot consider him a Prime Minister. In the same way, the gopis and the mother, father, his friends, they all see Krishna as if Krishna was there, like apple of their eye. They loved him the most. But if you very carefully observe, if you read Bhagavatam, you will come to know that the gopis were aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see, when the gopis, in the Gopi Gita, we are reading a section where they are saying, "Oh Krishna, you are the biggest cheater. Because when you came as Vamandev, you cheated Bali Maharaj. You asked for 3 feet of land and then you occupied the entire Brahmanda. So you are famous for cheating. That's why you have cheated us now also." So they are teasing, they are talking about Krishna like that. So how did they have knowledge? So Krishna would give them knowledge whenever they needed it. Like one time Krishna opened his mouth and showed the entire Brahmanda. And Yashoda started worshipping. "Oh, Super Soul of the Universe, you are the source of everything that exists. You are the master of all the three worlds. All the great demigods, Vandava, Sarana, Sakshas, everyone emanates from you." Like that, the devotees are asking prayers. And Krishna thought, "What is this? My mother is speaking like this. Better let my mother see me as a child." Then immediately Krishna started behaving like a small child. And then she treated him like a child. So, Krishna sometimes may remove the Yogamaya curtain to show his form as a Supreme Personality of Godhead to even the Vrijabhasis. So Vrijabhasis are aware, but they were not paying much concern about it. They weren't very keen about knowing the aspect of Krishna being the Supreme God. Just like Prime Minister's mother, she may be knowing that my son is the Prime Minister of India. But what difference it makes for her? When she is giving prasad, she doesn't have to tell, "My dear son, this day." She doesn't have to do like that. She doesn't have to behave like that. She will behave with her as a son. In the same way, they all loved Krishna very much. And they knew also Krishna to be God. But then they didn't treat him that way. They treated him simply as a lover. And besides that, Krishna also is very intelligent. And actually, he's a supremely intelligent person. How do you act? If you see the gopis, on one hand, you think these gopis are all dancing with Krishna. It's clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. When the wives of the other men, when they were dancing, the bodies of the gopis were lying, along with the husband. Husband saw the body in their friend, and they thought their wives is with them. But the souls were not in the bodies. All the souls were dancing with Krishna. So the husband never knew that. So Krishna's dasa dance is enacted on the spiritual platform, not on the material platform. That has to be understood. Besides that, we see Rukmini's discussion with Krishna. In that she is telling, Krishna was just one day teasing Rukmini. He was telling, "Why did you marry me, Rukmini? After all, I am a covered boy. Some people call me Kshatriya, some people call me Vaishya. Nobody can even ascertain my caste. Besides that, one time I ran away from the battlefield and I hid myself in the ocean. In Dwarka, I built a big palace in the ocean. And I was chased by my enemies. So, you have not had a proper match of marriage with me. Even now it is not late. You come from a wonderful big family. So why don't you accept Shishupal and such people, such great kings in hand? You have been cheated because you married me. At that time Rukmini was actually fanning Krishna with the cocktail. That time, and she heard it. She went into trance. She started crying tears. All symptoms she exhibited and fell down on the ground unconscious. And then Krishna had to pacify her, sprinkle water on her and wake her up. When she woke up, she spoke a lot of philosophy. One very important part of the philosophy is, she said, "My dear Krishna, all the women of this world have married so many men whose bodies are full of filth, stool, urine, bile, mucus, flesh and bones. It is simply a bag of bone and flesh. And they have their hats and mustaches emanating from their body. And all are completely material. I did not want to marry such a man. I wanted to marry you because you have a transcendental body. You have such a Sachidananda body which is never deteriorated, which is ever existing. And in fact you are the enjoyer of all the living entities. You are called a Sarvatan Pati. Sarvatan Pati means you are the Pati of every living entity. So you are the Lord of every Jiva. You are actually Patim Pati Nam. You are Pati of all the Patis. So you are the supreme source of all that exists. So in this way she glorified. So the Gopi is new pretty well that Krishna is the source of everything. But Krishna wanted them to behave as a lover with them. It's not that they were just treating Krishna as a lover. They also knew the reality. So the covered men in Vrindavan, they loved Krishna the most. And whatever activities Krishna did, nobody missed him for anything. Any activity. In fact, Krishna had such a power when he was a small boy that he could stop the Indra Yajna. Isn't it? Just by his saying, all the covered men agreed to that. And whenever they were in danger, they all depended on Krishna. So Krishna was the pivot of Vrindavan. They were all doing activities for Krishna's pleasure. In fact, we see, but Mother Yashoda is not aware of Krishna's activities. In fact, when Krishna would return along with covered boyfriends and the cows and the calves in the forest, Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka, they all would be waiting with the plates to receive Krishna. So it was not that nobody was aware. Mother Yashoda was very much aware of Krishna. Krishna's love for Radharani and Lalita, Vishaka, all of that. So they all knew that Krishna is the object of love in Vrindavan. There was not a tinge of doubt in that for them.
When we are talking about the truth, how we can be the truth that we are knowing about. One thing I realized, sense realized, is it right or not? The truth is required to the mind, and the soul don't need the truth. And the brain is intelligent, which tells the mind, like the man, that with the intellect, like thinking, and all the brain activity, it tells the mind that it is this way or that way or that. So it convinces the mind. And when the mind gets convinced, then it says, we are not, and
realize God, one has to take a leap of faith. Only when you take that leap of faith, then God will give you the actual realization. For example, many people ask us, oh, how can you leave a company? You don't have any bank balance. You have left the company, you have shaved your head and dedicated your life. Who knows tomorrow what will happen to ISKCON? If ISKCON collapses and you don't have your father and mother, no property, you will come to the street. And who will give you food? But devotee says, never mind, Krishna will protect me. So he may take a leap of faith and surrender everything to Krishna. And in that leap of faith, Krishna will give the understanding. That is actually the understanding that comes in the soul, not in the mind or the intellect. These are all material. Mind is material, intelligence is material, possible is material. So, mind, intelligence, possible can be very easily convinced. You know, you can mathematically, scientifically approach in so many ways. That may be for beginners.
I think mind is not material.
Mind is material.
How can you show your mind?
No, something material need not be shown. Even air is material, can you show it? You ask the question. It is not that something material has to be shown. The Shastra says,
material is something which has not shape, angle,
weight. But you have to write a new definition of Bhagavad Gita then. If you want to say mind is not material. Because Krishna says, Bhumi Rapo Analo Vayu Kham Manaha Buddhir Evacha Ahankara Vithiyame Dhinna Prakritir Ashtada. He says these eight are material energies. He said, so mind is also material. Mind, intelligence, ego, they all are material. But they are subtle matter. Like there is Bhumi Rapa Anala Vayu Kham. This is grass matter. Man, Buddhi, Ahankar is subtle matter. And Atma is beyond grass and subtle matter. He is purely spiritual. Yes.
What is the subtle?
Subtle means sukshma. Yes. It is sukshma bhautik. It is actually bhautik, but it is sukshma. It is material. It is also material. Someday, scientists may advance to the extent of understanding and manipulating with the mind also. Even now in psychology and psychiatry they are doing a lot with the mind. It's completely material. And Atma is superior to all these eight elements. So our realization should come on the spiritual platform. That is actually a realization. Mind and intellect is very easy. You know, I will make one statement and completely defeat you. So you will say, yes, I agree with you. And I can make another statement to shake that faith. Isn't it? Understand the point? I can make one point to make you have complete faith. And then afterwards, the next time I can make another point to shake that faith and put faith in the second thing. So this is in the platform of mind. But for one who has developed faith in the soul, such a person, he can never shake his faith. You will tell him, even if 100 scientists come to him and prove him that there is no